I heard of a story with Yaakov Kamenetsky. He was going back from a chasana from New York to Muncie, and somebody was driving him. He didn't drive himself. And he told the driver, "I think you're going the wrong direction. You should be going northwest, and you're going northeast." And the driver said, "I checked the road signs, and you should be going the right direction." And Yaakov said, "Well, I checked the constellations, and you're going the wrong direction." Sure enough, Rabbi Yaakov was right. They were headed the right direction. So I also heard a maestro with the Chazon Ish. He was once walking outside in the night with somebody, and he asked him, "What time is it?" He said, "Oh, no, wait a minute." He looked at the moon. Okay. He was able to tell the time of day by the moon. Now, neither one of these maestros show Ruach HaKodesh. They have had Ruach HaKodesh, but these maestros, you don't need to do that. You don't need Ruach HaKodesh to tell the time of the moon or to tell the direction by the stars. Maybe in England you do, because you can't see the moon and you can't see the stars. But most of the world, if you're out of the city, you'll have a full view of the stars. If Yaakov grew up in the country in Russia, no city lights there, so he knew quite well the constellations, and he was able to see there are all over the celestial sphere there are constellations. Each constellation is a grouping of stars. There are about 15 of them are mentioned in Chazal. 12 of them are along the plane of the Earth's orbit around the Sun. Those are the Galgala Mazalot. Those are the main 12 that are in Chazal. In addition, Kima is mentioned, and Kseel, and maybe Agala. So if you find any constellation that you could recognize, if you know the grouping of the stars, you can get your bearings from that. For instance, if you can find the Big Dipper, you'll know that two of the stars of the Big Dipper point towards a star that's called Polaris. Polaris is the north star, which means as the Earth turns, it spins its day and night. So everything, including the sun, the moon, and all the stars, rise in and set in the west. The Earth spins from west to east, giving the appearance of everything else rising in the east and setting in the west. So all the stars also, they rise in the east and set in the west, and they make a circle throughout the day. That's, if you're standing on the equator, everything rises straight up and down and sets straight up and down. If you're standing on the North Pole, nothing rises and sets. It just spins in a complete circle because the spin of the Earth is the same direction as your horizon. Your horizon is going to be tangent with the sphere, and as the sphere spins, you spin around, and you see the North Star directly above you. That's directly above the axis of the Earth. And all the other stars make circles around it depending on their latitude in the celestial sphere. The ones that are on the equator will be on your horizon if you're on the North Pole. The ones that are below the equator, the people on the North Pole will never see. The opposite is true with the South Pole. They'll see the other half of the celestial sphere. They'll never see the northern half. So if you're able to find the constellation, the Big Dipper, you know that two stars point toward Polaris. You can find north. Once you find north, you can know your direction. It's not such a tremendous thing. All the slaves in the south, all the Schwarzes, when they had to get to freedom, they followed the stars, they followed the drinking gourd, the Big Dipper, and they headed north. How do you tell the time of day by the moon? First, how do you tell the time of day by the sun? By the sun, it's quite simple. If you know what time sunrise is, and you know what time sunset is, so the sun makes an arc across the sky during the day. If you know the sunrise and sunset, the middle of the day will be Chatzos. Then you know Chatzos also. So if you can see where the sun is at the middle of the day, you know you're at Chatzos. I was once with one of my workers who drove up to my house. I knew exactly which direction my house faced, and there was the line of the eaves of my house was directly overhead. So I told him, "Oh, it's 12:47 because I knew it was Chatzos that day. He said, "You saw my watch." And I hadn't seen his watch, but that was the right time. You could tell the time of day by the sun. Now the moon also rises in the east and sets in the west. There's something the Gemara refers to as the Moilad. What is the Moilad? If you have the moon in between the earth and the sun, and the light side of the moon faces the sun, the dark side faces the earth. Throughout the month, the moon orbits around the Earth counterclockwise from the northern hemisphere. If you would look down on the whole system from the north, the Earth spins counterclockwise, the Earth orbits the sun counterclockwise, and the moon orbits the Earth counterclockwise. All the planets are going the same direction around the sun, counterclockwise. That seems to be the spin of our solar system. At the time of the Molad, no one sees the new moon, because dark side is facing Earth, the light side is facing the sun. You need a certain amount of time after the Molad to make the new moon visible. How much time do you need? Well, that's a discussion among the Rishonim. Rashi and Tosfos learn to seem to say that you need 6 hours. What happens after 6 hours? During the course of the month, the moon makes one complete revolution around the Earth. One complete revolution is 360 degrees. So how much is that on a daily basis? Divided by 30, so it's 12 degrees a day. So that means approximately half of a degree every hour. So after 6 hours, the moon will be 3 degrees away from the line between the Earth and the sun. When it's achieved sufficient elongation, that gives a chance for the sun to drop below the horizon at sunset. As the Earth spins, it causes the sun to set, and then the moon to set. The moon is further along. After the sun sets, the sky begins to grow dark, and you'll be able to see the thin sliver of the moon. It will look sort of like a banana. That's after the first day. The Rambam and the Balamor, the Ben Ezra say you need a full day to see the new moon. The Rambam says a minimum of 18 hours under the best conditions. A maximum could be 2 days under the worst conditions. At the quarter month, half of the moon is still facing the sun, that's the lit side, but what we see from Earth is half of the disk lit up. At the full moon, we'll see the full disk lit up. That is when the moon is in opposition. The sun's on one side, and the moon is on the opposite side. So if you know the day of the month, you'll know where in the sky the moon is, where in its cycle. At approximately 7 days, it will be at the first quarter, 15 days at the full moon, 22 days at the last quarter, and you'll see again half of the moon, the opposite half that you saw lit up before. And then again, as it goes on, there's a new moon the next month. You'll lose sight of it when it gets close to the sun, and then it reappears a day after the moon. Let's assume it's the 15th day of the month. So there's a full moon in the sky. The full moon will rise at sunset, as the Earth spins the sunset. The full moon, being the opposite of the sun, will rise as the sun sets. Once again, you know the moon will rise at sunset. When will it set? It will set at approximately moonrise. At sunrise, the moon will set. If we spin around another 12 hours, sunset and the moon rise. It's a little bit after because the moon continues to move. Now, throughout the night, the moon will cross the entire sky because there are spins from the sunset to the sunrise. That's from the moonrise to the moon set. So you know what time it rises, you know what time it sets, you know that chatzos of the night on the full moon, the moon will be in the middle of the sky, and it will set right before sunrise, shortly after sunrise. Therefore, you can tell the time of day, the time of night, by the moon. That's on a full moon. On a quarter moon, let's assume that it's the last quarter of the month. You see half of the moon that faces the sun. When will that rise and set? Well, it will rise when your line of vision comes to that point, at that chatzos of the night. You'll see the half of the moon as you spin around chatzos. As the Earth spins more, it will be directly overhead at sunrise. So you'll be able to measure the last half of the night based on the moon, from when it rises at chatzos till it's overhead at sunrise. If you know how many hours are between chatzos and sunrise, you'll be able to measure what time of night it is. And every day of the month, if you know when the moon rises and the moon sets, so you'll be able to measure with the moon just like you could measure with the sun. There's an interesting halacha about Kiddush HaChodesh. Kiddush HaChodesh, or Kiddush Levana. Kiddush Levana is the bracha we make on the waxing moon as it's growing larger. After 3 days, the moon's giving off enough light to Earth that we can get some benefit from it. We can make a bracha on it. When is the end time for Kiddush Levana? So that's a machlokes in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. There's one opinion that's until the seventh day, and one opinion until the 15th day. The Gemara's lashon actually is ad shiyumala tegimata, until the tegima, the missing section of the moon, is filled. What is the missing section? Well, we mentioned that the moon starts off like a crescent, a banana shape. Now, in a crescent, you could interpret the missing section from one tip to the other tip. That gets filled after 7 days. After 7 days, you'll see nothing lacking in that crescent. That's the first opinion of the Gemara. The second opinion, no. It's not considered full until the entire disk of the moon is visible in the sky as a circle. When that disk becomes visible, then there's no longer any lack in the moon. It's completely full. And until then, you could say Kiddush Levana. And that's the way we paskin. Until the full moon, you could say Kiddush Levana. When is it the full moon? The average synodic month is approximately 29 and a half days. So half of that time it takes the moon to do half of its orbit on the average. So therefore the Ramah and the Mechaber say till the 15th day after the Molad you could do Kiddush Levana. The Ramah says more exactly, it's really 14 days and 3 quarters according to the Ramah, half of 29 and a half and 44 minutes. According to the Ramah, slightly earlier. However, even the Mechaber, the Beis Yosef, says if you know that it's in opposition, then you can no longer say Kiddush Levana. How do we know that it's in opposition? Well, the easiest way is when there's a lunar eclipse. When the Earth's shadow is shining on the moon, it blocks out the sun, and the moon goes into the shadow of the Earth. Then we know the sun is on one side, and the moon is on the opposite side, and the moon will grow dark. That eclipse is a sign of true opposition. After that, you can no longer say Kiddush Levana. That's what the Maharil says and the Beis Yosef. So the day, 15 days that the Mechaber says, if the Likoy Levana, the eclipse happens earlier, you can no longer say Kiddush Levana. Now the Gemara actually says there's another sign of opposition. That's what we mentioned before. If the moon is rising at sunset or setting at sunrise, that means the moon is on one side and the sun at the other. And on Earth, you can see them both on the horizon, one rising and one setting. That's another sign that the moon is in opposition. The Gemara says, therefore, the sailors who are on the ocean, they have no way of knowing what day of the month it is. They should look for this sign, and that they'll know that it's the 14th day of the month, and they have to get rid of their chametz. Why is it only the 14th day and not the 15th? Because the first day of the month, no one can see the new moon. So the first day that Rosh Chodesh will be is one day after the Molad. So 15 days after that is really the 16th day of the month. And the 15 days after that, the moon will already have passed opposition. 14 days later, it's in true opposition. And that's how they know that it's the night of the 14th, and they have to get through B'dik of Chometz and get rid of their Chometz. I read a story of somebody with a partisan during the war, and he was with Goyim and in Russia, the Russian soldiers, they didn't know he was Jewish, but he tried to keep all the mitzvahs, and he didn't know what day Pesach was. He looked at the moon, he said, a full moon is the 15th of the month. That's what he knew, because it's in opposition. However, if you try looking at the full moon is actually going to be this afternoon, true opposition. If you try looking at last night, you couldn't tell that there was anything missing. Even the night before, it would be difficult to tell. Tonight, if you look at the moon, you won't notice that it's already waning. The Sam Fraser says, based on that, since you cannot tell that it's yet a waning moon, you could still say Kiddush Levana. That's what the Sam Fraser says. So this young boy who was with the Russians looked at the moon, and for 4 days he wasn't sure which day was the right day for Pesach. Therefore, he kept Pesach 12 days. He didn't eat chametz. However, if he would have looked for the sign of opposition, if he would have known this astronomical fact, he could have been much more accurate. He probably would have sake of the Yom. He would have 8 days, maybe 9 days if it was a cloudy night or something, but he certainly wouldn't have had to do 12 days of Pesach. Some sofa that I mentioned before, what happened was there was a sofa in Krakow, a certain plague, and people were very interested to say Kiddush Levana, and it was cloudy, and if you say Kiddush Levana, it's brought down, it's a segula, you won't have a mitzvah mishnah, you won't die a strange death that month. Therefore, they were very interested in saying Kiddush Levana in the right time. However, it was cloudy. The Rav of this town passing on the 16th of the month, they could still say Kiddush Levana. That's what happened in Krakow. Somebody wrote this to the Chassam Sofer and said, was he right? Was the Rav right? The Chassam Sofer supported the Rav's stock based on these. In the case of the Yevid, since he had already passed, he said, don't say that he's wrong. However, it seems the Chassam Sofer did not rely on it. Many times it's true that the Chassam Sofer is brought down as a L'chapila. However, nowadays I think you can't rely on it at all. I think even the Chassam Sofer would admit that you cannot rely on it. Why? We mentioned before that an eclipse of the moon is a sign of opposition. After the eclipse, you can't say Kiddush Levana. What happens if I'm inside, sleeping, and somebody comes in 4 a.m. and says, you know, you just missed the eclipse. There was an eclipse, it took 2 hours, I watched the shadow of the earth go across the moon. You slept through the whole thing. Can I go outside now and say Kiddush Levana? It seemed to me that it's partial that the eclipse is known, then that's the end of the time. What if England, no one saw the eclipse, it was during the day. England was over here. However, somebody from Australia called me, he said, last night, there's an eclipse. Now, it could be 12 hours later, still the half of the month, based on the average month, hasn't come yet. Can I say Kiddush Levana? I would think there also, I know there was an eclipse. Kiddush Levana should be too late. Now, based on what we said, there's another sign of opposition. Seeing the sun rise at the time the moon is setting, or the moon rising at the time the sun is setting. There are two lines on earth that will have that every month, because when opposition occurs, there's always a place on earth that's having sunrise and always a place on earth that's having sunset. So in theory, there should always be a place on earth that has seen the true opposition. Now with massive global communication nowadays, I can always be informed of the time of the opposition, even if I don't see it myself. The times of the Chassam Sofer, if you didn't see it, you don't know that happened. Therefore, you could rely on the average. However, nowadays, where the information is readily available, or you can just go on a website and take it off the internet, when is the opposition this month? Therefore, it's highly preferred to say Kiddush Levana before true opposition. It comes out of Kula also, because sometimes the true opposition can be later than the average. So sometimes you'll have even more time to say Kiddush Levana than the time printed in the Luchos. The Luchos usually print the average time. The Gemara mentions that when the Malachim came to Abraham Avinu, they said, in a year you'll have a son. But at this time, the Moed Hazeh, the next Moed, the Gemara says it's the next Moed, the Midrash says it's a year. Rashi and Kumish goes with the shot that they came on Pesach, and therefore the next Pesach Yitzchak was born. The Gemara says they came in Tishrei, and on Pesach, the next Moed, Yitzchak was born. The Midrash also mentions that they drew a line on the wall to say, when the son gets to this line, that's when Yitzchak will be born, that's when your son will be born. There's another Rashi in Chumash, when it discusses the Makas Parad, Rashi over there says that when Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paro, Lamachar, the Barad comes tomorrow, the Barad, he drew a line on the wall and said, when the son gets to this line, it will hail. So, what does a line on the wall do? Is it a sign of a year or is it a sign of one day? The truth is, you could use it for either way. It depends which way you draw the line. There are two motions of the sun that we're concerned with here. One is the daily motion from east to west. So if you would draw your line up and down, and you have a stick in front of your wall, then when the sun would get to Chatzos, and you draw your line there, it would get to that same point the next day, and the sun would then be on the same line. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu told Pharaoh. The line that the Malachim drew for Abraham Avinu was an up-down, a horizontal line. And that has to do with the earth's orbit around the sun. We mentioned briefly before that there's an orbit of the Earth around the Sun called the ecliptic. That's the Galgal HaMazalot. As the Earth goes through the orbit, its spin is inclined to the ecliptic. It's inclined to the plane of the orbit. That is why we have seasons. Not because the Earth is closer or further from the Sun. We're actually closest to the Sun now. We're furthest from the Sun in the beginning of July. But this week is when we're closest to the Sun. However, the tilt of the Earth is what creates the winter for the Northern Hemisphere now. Right now we're tilted that the North Pole is away from the Sun and the South Pole is inclined to the Sun. As the Earth continues going around in its orbit, Tekufas Tishrei, the Sun crosses over the equator and heads north. After that, the Sun will be shining on the most northern point, the Tropic of Cancer, Sartan. That's where the Sun will be in a group of stars called Sartan. If it goes around further, it will cross the equator again to Tekufas Tishrei until it gets again to the winter to Tekufas Tevis. Now, during that time, the angle of the Sun to the horizon changes at Chatzos. The angle that it makes at Chatzos. In the winter, it's much lower on the horizon, and in the summer, it's much higher on the horizon. That difference will be the exact difference in degrees between the Tropic of Cancer and Tropic of Capricorn. That's how the early astronomers figured out the tilt of the Earth. They measured the lowest point of the Sun in the winter, then they measured the highest point of the Sun in the summer, and they knew that half of that was the Earth's tilt. Half went down in the winter, and half went up in the summer, so that whatever angle you get, that's double the tilt of the Earth. So if we're at approximately 52 degrees here in London, so it'll be 23 and a half below that in the winter, and 23 and a half degrees above that in the summer. So therefore the Sun shines from a different angle in the south every day. Now if it's high up in the sky, if I have a wall over here, and I have a horizontal beam or another wall in front of it, the shadow that the Sun makes on this wall will go up and down in the winter and the summer. In the summer it will be the lowest because the Sun is highest in the sky, and in the winter it will be higher up because the Sun is low in the sky. That's the sweet of the mark the angels made for Avraham Avinu, and that changes throughout the winter and summer. The truth is, the Gemara's trapped this in very well. They came to Avraham Avinu in Tishrei when the Sun was exactly above the equator. They drew a line on the wall. 6 months later, which means the Sun had gone all the way up on the wall because it was the winter, and then it went back down when the summer came. It got to the same month, the same line on the wall 6 months later in Nisan. That's according to the Gemara. That's shot in the line on the wall. According to the Midrash, that they came in Nisan and they left in Nisan, and Yitzchak was born the following Nisan, so it went Nisan, the Sun is exactly on the equator. As the year progresses, it goes through the full cycle. It goes down all the way as the Sun rises in the summer, then goes up all the way as the Sun is lower in the winter, and then back down to Nisan again, and that's your mark for the day of the year. Now, the problem with this shot is as follows. We know that this is all a solar year based on the Sun. But if the Malachim came on Tuba Nisan, the first day of Pesach, and Yitzchak was born on Nisan, now the Yiddish months have nothing to do with the solar year. It has to do with the cycle of the moon. Months have nothing to do with years. So there should be an 11-day discrepancy, the mark on the wall that was drawn one Nisan to the next. So how do we resolve this 11-day discrepancy? So I heard a pshat when I was in Tehran. I heard a pshat from Tzvi Yehuda Friedman, said like this. It could be that the malach that told Avraham next year I'll come was Rafal. Rafal came on the third day after the Mila. Yitzchak's Mila was 8 days after he was born. The malach came 3 days later. The line is exactly the same spot again. Okay, I'll just explain one of the Gemaras in Rosh Hashanah now. The Gemara says that Shvat, Tu B'Shvat, is the day that the Rosh Hashanah Li'ilonos, the new year for the trees. The Gemara has a shaila over there. Is it Shvat the Takufa or Shvat the Chodoshim? The Takufa is what we explained with the Earth's orbit around the Sun. There are four different Takufas. Each position of the Earth that's significant is one is when it's tilted away from the Sun, then when the Sun is over the equator, when it's tilted toward the Sun, and then again when it's crossing the equator. Those are the four Takufas. Each one is a specific date, the four seasons. Now, those are all based on the solar year. The Chodashim have nothing to do with that. It's totally the moon cycle. So, in order to resolve this discrepancy, we have to add a leap month every two or three years. The four Tekufos are, everyone in the world saw that there were approximately 12 months in a year. So even the Goyim, who use the solar year for everything, they split it up into 12. However, their 12 are not going to be synonymous with our months. They're going to be off by a day every month because they have to add 11 days throughout the year. So instead of 29 or 30 days, the months are either 30 or 31 days in the secular year, in the solar year. So that's what the Gemara means. When it says Tekufas Tevis is when the sun is shining on its lowest point, the Tropic of Capricorn. 3 months later is Tekufas Shvat, Tevis Shvat Adar. Now Tekufas Shvat, nothing really happens. It's no significant point in the Earth's orbit around the sun. However, since they saw that each Tekufa was on the average 91 days and 7.5 hours, they split up each Tekufa into sections of 30 days each. So if we count from Tekufas Tevis, 30 days later will be Tekufa Shvat the Tekufa. It's not Tekufa Shvat, there's no Tekufa called Tekufa Shvat, but it's the Shvat the Tekufas. 15 days after that will be Tuba Shvat of Tekufas. Now, Tuba Shvat of the month has nothing to do with that. It depends when the Moilad was, when Rosh Chodesh Shvat was, and 15 days later is 15th of Shvat. The Gemara asks, when it says Rosh Hashanah Lilanos, does it mean the Shvat of the Tekufa or Shvat the Chodoshim? Now, on nothing else in the Mishnah does the Gemara have this Shaila, which month we're referring to. We always refer to the Jewish month. So why over here could it possibly refer to the solar month? The explanation is simple, because the other things in the Mishnah are talking about the Yomim Tovim. Over here we're talking about an agricultural phenomenon. The trees start budding. That has to do with the seasons. It's not a lunar thing, it's a solar phenomenon. Therefore, the Gemara at this point entertains the possibility maybe we should use the Shvat to Tekufas and not Shvat to Chodoshim. Yeah.